Caja Vilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Caja Vilca in the Technical Production, Edition and Music Selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
For the latest news from the world of radio, every Sunday morning at 10:30 on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, September the 11th, 2022. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in to our weekly half hour of news and information from the world of radio. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived on the CKUT website, ckut.ca. Our International Radio Report Facebook group has three new members this week. We welcome Francis, Rick, and Don, bringing us to 837 members. You can join it by searching for International Radio Report on Facebook. Click the Join the Group icon, and away you go. You can participate in the group and read all of the other stories that get posted up there. And recaps of our show as well, the stories that we feature on the program. We also have our YouTube channel where you can go and catch the show again at your own leisure. Just search for International Radio Report on YouTube, and we have 689 subscribers there. We have a lot of information to get to this week, so we'll get things going immediately with a local story. And this is an event that I was able to attend on Thursday evening, courtesy of a special invitation I received from Mitch Melnick, who's one of the on-air personalities at TSN Radio 690 in Montreal. It is an all-sports radio station, and they were celebrating their 20th year on the air here in Montreal. There was an accompanying story to this in the Montreal Gazette this week. The event had been postponed twice and delayed for more than a year because of COVID restrictions. But finally, the party took place on Thursday evening at the Fairmount Theatre complex on Park Avenue in Montreal. It involved a lot of people from past and present from the radio station, as well as a lot of media personalities from Montreal media. Being a sports station, it also attracted a lot of sports celebrities as well, some of Montreal Canadiens, Montreal Alouettes football team members, and various people connected to sports and journalism and media in the city of Montreal. It went on quite long, started, I think they opened the doors at like 4:30 for VIP guests. I left at 11:30 in the evening and it was still going strong. So it was quite a party, introducing people, welcoming people, thanking people that have been with the station over the years, past and present. But what was really interesting was three Lifetime Achievement Awards that were presented to three people in the media in Montreal. One, Mike Farber, who some of you may even know as a national and international columnist. He did sports columns for Sports Illustrated magazine, ESPN in the States. He also did work at TSN, Montreal Gazette. He'd been involved in a lot of different media, writing articles and features on sports. So one went to him. A second one went to Ron Roosh, who was the former head of the sports department at CTV Network in Montreal. Finally, to Pat Hickey, who is a columnist who covers the Montreal Canadiens hockey team in Montreal. So they were all presented with awards. There were a number of different artists performing concert sets at the event. One that was really special included, if anyone familiar with Bruce Springsteen's band, his late saxophone player Clarence Clemens has a nephew who lives here in Montreal, Jake Clemens, and he had thrown together sort of an R&B revival band. And they came out with the whole Blues Brothers outfits and the whole works and did a whole bunch of Motown hits and Stax record hits and that sort of thing. So that was really fun as well. They did invite myself and two other people on stage to thank us for presentations that we gave almost 10 years ago when it was threatened that TSN radio would disappear in Montreal. We appeared at the CRTC hearings in Montreal to try to encourage them to allow Bell Media to own four stations in the Montreal market, where the regulation initially only allowed three stations to be owned by one company. Apparently, our efforts at those hearings helped the decision of the CRTC to change the regulation, and TSN was able to carry on and carries on to this day, 10 years later. So they wanted to thank us for our efforts on that, which was really nice of them. I wasn't quite sure how much impact our appearances had, but apparently it did have quite a bit of influence on the CRTC decision. So we were quite happy to hear that. And we certainly got a lot of thank yous from a lot of people at TSN Radio in Montreal because of that. So thanks to Mitch Melnick and his team for putting the event together, for inviting me to go there. And it was a great evening meeting a lot of people in the Montreal media, and in particular, people with TSN Radio in Montreal.
So there's a report from Radio Today via Mike Terry UK. It says that almost every radio station in the UK suspended normal programming around 6:30 p.m. on Thursday to announce the sad death of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. The Queen died peacefully at Balmoral on Thursday afternoon. Radio station had been on standby for obituary mode following news of the Queen's medical condition was announced at 12:34 p.m. by Buckingham Palace. Confirmation of her death came via Twitter and the news wires at exactly 6:30 p.m. The UK's largest commercial radio groups followed well-rehearsed procedures to break the news to listeners. Global brought all of their stations together to rebroadcast LBC after each brand announced the news separately. Each Bauer brand joined for a networked breaking news bulletin followed by a toned-down playlist and presenters looking back at the life of the Queen. All BBC radio stations joined up for a networked BBC news special on a clock start at 18:36, with BBC Radio 4 and 5 Live breaking the news individually at 18:32. Other radio groups, including Nation and Wireless Independent Stations, Community, Hospital, Student, and Online Services, broadcast the news and paid their respects by playing more laid-back music mixed with occasional news announcements. Emotional announcements were made on talk radio and on LBC. The first national radio station to break the news, according to research provided to Radio Today, was Times Radio at 18:31. And, of course, there was extensive BBC coverage. In the United States, the NPR broadcasters pretty much all started relaying the BBC feed directly. We have a radio-related audio clip. So it's the Princess Elizabeth broadcast to the nation on Children's Hour in 1940. That's 82 years ago when she was 14 years old.
My sister, Margaret Rose, and I feel so much for you, as we know from experience what it means to be away from those we love most of all. To you, living in new surroundings, we send a message of true sympathy, and at the same time, we would like to thank the kind people who have welcomed you to their homes in the country. All of us children who are still at home think continually of our friends and relations who have gone overseas, who have traveled thousands of miles to find a wartime home and a kindly welcome in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and the United States of America. My sister and I feel we know quite a lot about these countries. Our father and mother have so often talked to us of their visits to different parts of the world. So it is not difficult for us to picture the sort of life you are all leading. and to think of all the new sights you must be seeing and the adventures you must be having. But I am sure that you, too, are often thinking of the old country. I know you won't forget us. It is just because we are not forgetting you that I want, on behalf of all the children at home, to send you our love and best wishes to you and to your kind hosts as well. My sister is by my side, and we are both going to say good night to you.
Good night, children.
Good night, and good luck to you all.
First time we heard Her Majesty the Queen on radio.
There's going to be extensive coverage over an extended period of time. The procedures that are going to be followed for, a funeral and of the Queen. So I think if you're looking around for information, broadcasts, certainly BBC World Service, I think will be dominated for the, probably the next couple weeks at least, I think. We have our Canadian International DX Club, our nationwide radio club here in Canada, is celebrating its 60th anniversary this year. We were formed in 1962. And we have an event taking place out in Alberta in Western Canada, starting on Friday, September the 16th, running through Sunday, September the 18th. We're going to have a lot of different events, some of them radio related, some of them touristy things and whatever for different people that have never been out to Edmonton before. But the radio events, we're going to try to make some of these, tie them into things that people can monitor on the radio as well. During the 2 days, well, the 3 days of the event, we will be activating our amateur radio club stations again. Here in Quebec, we have VE2AQP, which, Gilles, you'll be operating on the Sunday on 20 and 40 meters from 2000 UTC to 0000 UTC. So that'll be on Sunday, September the 18th. And we'll be posting up some messages as to, where you might be on the bands and that sort of thing. So you can watch our International Radio Report Facebook page or group. And we also have a Canadian International DX Club Facebook group that you can look into as well. We will be activating the Alberta station, VE6SWL. That will probably be sometime on Saturday. We'll be posting more information up about that. We don't know exactly what time we'll be doing that. Keep a watch on the on our show page and on the CIDX Facebook group, and we'll post up some information about some of the events that you might be able to log into and or listen to. And if you're a listener, you'll be able to monitor them, and you can send in reception reports and get the special QSL cards that we have as well. You'll see all the information about what's going on in your CIDX bulletin, which was issued for September just earlier this week. We hope to come across some of you on the airwaves out there.
United States Special Event Station N3U/FLT93 for the United Flight 93. This is via Southgate Amateur Radio News. Look for the special event N3U/FLT93. To be activated once again between September 9th and 14th to remind amateur radio operators worldwide of the tragic events that happened near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, New York City, and Washington, D.C. on September 11th, 2001. This will be the 13th year for N3U and this memorial operation. Bob W3BTX informs OPDX N3U was first activated in 2010 and has continued every year since. We also ran a special Aruba call, P41 USA, for special years, but COVID-19 got in the way. Activity will be on all bands that are open at the time, using mostly FT8, FT4. There will be some CW and SSB, and there's QSLs available via the club call sign W3PN, a special 911 call sign. That's also via the Southgate Amateur Radio News. Station WA2NYC is a remembrance of the 21st anniversary on the attack of the World Trade Center in New York City. We remember that over 2,900 souls that were lost on that day. The stations will operate between 0 Zulu September 11th until 03 Zulu September 12th. Suggested frequencies are 28450, 21350, 14340, 7238. And D-Star Reflector XLX020B will be monitored at the top of the hour. If you would like a QSL card, please send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the club address for the Wireless Association of New York City. We'll post the details.
There may be other activities going on that we're, you know, that we haven't received notice of, but I think a lot of radio stations too will be commemorating the date as they do every year. So there may be special broadcasts that you'll hear as well.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, this week the sun is more quiet than in the previous few weeks. So we've had some quiet conditions mostly. We have a few sunspots. For the rest, the solar flux is, of course, around 127, the sunspot number is 72. There is no coronal hole to, make conditions a little worse during the week. So things should continue to be quiet in the next few days. But the best way to really know what's happening, actually, is to turn on a radio and listen.
I'm Thomas Witherspoon of Asheville, North Carolina, and you're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
We have some, I guess, surprising news and some pretty interesting news. I think a lot of people will be happy to hear this. Of course, we talked about last year, World Radio TV Handbook issuing its final edition for 2022. Well, things have changed. This comes from several sources reported to Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The World Radio TV Handbook to return for 2023. The next edition of the world's most comprehensive and up-to-date guide to broadcasting will be published in December 2022 in both a printed and a digital version. The Dictionary of Global Broadcasting was published by WRTH Publications Limited until 2022. The rights have now been transferred to the Radio Data Center, GmbH, based in Freising, Germany. After several decades as a book, the World Radio TV Handbook, the Directory of Global Broadcasting, will now be available as a web app. The directory is an indispensable reference for interested radio listeners, avid DXers, and all those who move professionally in the world of radio, said Gunter Lorenz, founder and CEO of Radio Data Center, on September the 8th, 2022. We are pleased that it will also be available online as a web app from December 2022. The Radio Data Center was created in 2012 to provide professional data delivery and services for broadcast radio-related business and industries. Gunter Lorenz had founded FM List, the world's most comprehensive and up-to-date database of FM broadcasting, already in 1986. It went online in 2005 as fmlist.org and was soon followed by MW List, its counterpart for medium wave and shortwave broadcasting. Oliver Schmidt is CEO of RDC and chairman of the board of UKW/TV. The organization that owns FM List and defines their work, which extends the community-supported databases to professional level as being cartographers of the global radio landscape. So you can check out more about this on wrth.org and radiodatacenter.com. So surprising, but I think really good news for the radio community out there.
Good news also that they will have some form of digital aspect to it. It's not clear if it's the whole book in digital form or more of a way to complement the book, so you'll have an online database maybe.
We're going to have to make more space on the bookshelf here now to expand again. We thought we were finished. So that's a nice story.
So we have a story that is just like breaking news almost. It comes from Italy, where there's the planned Rai Italy medium wave transmitters that would be switched off. And of course, there's concerns that are expressed here. So Rai intends to turn off the medium wave radio broadcast starting September 11th, that's today, 2022. This decision will also include turning off the medium wave signal of Radio Trieste, which broadcasts radio programs for the Slovene national community in Italy, as well as the Campalto facility from where comes the signal of the radio program of the RAIFVG. The president of the Italian Union, Maurizio Tremel, said on behalf of the organization representing the entire Italian national community in Croatia and Slovenia, the radio broadcast will be transferred to web platforms. He disclosed that in recent days, he has appealed to Foreign Ministry Luigi Di Maio and Undersecretary Benedetto della Vedova, as well as the Undersecretary to the Presidency of the Council of Ministers, Department of Information, so that they express the concern of the Italians of Istria, Kvarner, and Dalmatia. It's, you know, particularly affecting one part of the community, the Slovenian minority community here. So the impact of the announced end to medium wave radio transmissions in Italy on the Slovenian minority and efforts towards a solution were in the focus of a meeting between Minister for Slovenians Abroad and Italian Ambassador to Slovenia on Friday. So, you know, it creates a little bit of a problem here. You know, not everybody has and goes to the web for radio and for information, and not everybody is tooled to do so. So removing some of the medium wave is a concern right now. So it's sad to see that another country is trying to slowly get rid of its medium wave transmitters.
Yeah, this we looked up in the WRTH, a perfect lead-in with the WRTH story, which lists all the domestic stations in each of the countries as well. And this does seem to be only the public broadcaster, yeah. RAI, their yeah. medium wave stations that are being closed. There are private stations throughout Italy, but this closure not only affects the Slovenian community for that one radio station and transmitter, but the Italian population as well. Because those stations cover the whole country in different cities on medium wave. I'm assuming that those transmissions will all be going to web-based as well. Now, they do have extensive FM networks throughout Italy, but again, these medium wave stations have wide coverage, they're higher powered, the signals certainly travel much further.
Yep.
We hadn't heard any word about this happening in Italy until just this story breaks.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the day that it's happening practically.
Yep.
Very odd.
There's good news, though, on the side of Congo, where there's new Chinese shortwave transmitters. This story actually comes from something that I just came across, which is a French language radio group that actually really talks mostly about what's happening in the French side of radio. So in Congo, the first shortwave transmitters in Congo Brazzaville were installed in the Second World War. It was a gift from the United States. And in reality, it's that the United States wanted to kind of have a sphere of influence to balance out with the BBC being a dominant radio broadcaster also. There was a second transmitter that was offered by Belgium and installed at Leopoldville, and this was a RCA 50 kilowatt transmitter. On May the 25th, 1960, following the independence of the country, Radio Congo had three shortwave transmitters, one of 25 kilowatts and two of 50 kilowatts. They were transmitters made by France, and they were installed at Pointe Noire. The transmitting center of shortwave at Jouy that existed since the 80s, in 1989, Congo was helped by Germany, and the French transmitters were replaced by Telefunken 100 kilowatt transmitters. Unfortunately, because of the events that happened in 1997, the transmitters were damaged and they weren't able to really turn them on again. So in 2003, they kind of had a small transmitter with only 1 kilowatt, but because of the low quality of the signal, they needed something else. And now it's the Chinese government that is helping out the Congo. On August the 30th, 2022, Chinese experts gave transmitters at Martin Sanga, which is the director of the Télédiffusion du Congo, new shortwave transmitters. The work to install the transmitters and antennas took 2 months, and the transmitter has a power of 50 kilowatts. Télédiffusion du Congo will be now capable of having a signal, a decent signal, across the territory. And they really needed that because they're saying that Radio Congo, Chaîne Nationale, had a lot of difficulty covering the whole country with its FM transmitters. So Radio Congo will be on. There's no times, but we'll probably see them pop up on the schedules. But on a known frequency for Radio Congo, Chaîne Nationale, will be on 6115 kilohertz.
People have already been reporting hearing French language broadcasts on that frequency. They didn't know at first what they were because there wasn't really much fanfare about this happening. It just kind of popped up. So this confirms that it is Congo back on the air. So you can look for them on 6115. Check all the spots for DX stations and what have you. And as you said, we'll probably see a schedule of some sort published. We should look around for that, I guess. But definitely some people have already heard this on 6115 kilohertz.
I see that on the EIBI space schedules. They're reported kind of officially from 06 to 8:30, 16 to 18, and 18 to 18:40, and irregular from 05:15 to 06 UTC on 6115.
With 50 kilowatts on the west coast of Africa, I remember when we had a lot of West African stations on shortwave, we used to receive them particularly on the eastern part of North America, quite well in the late afternoon. Yes. And then again, as getting towards sunrise in Africa, where we still had darkness path here. So definitely worth checking out. And tune in 6115 if you hear some French on there. Good chance you're hearing the new transmitter from Congo.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
We have some QSO parties and a couple of other events going on. The first one is the Texas QSO party, 1400 Zulu September 17th to 2000 Zulu September 18th. That's organized by the Texas DX Society. It is all HF bands except the work bands, but also 6 meters and 2 meters, and it's an all modes contest.
There's the QRP A-Field, 15 Zulu to 21 Zulu, September 17th, organized by the QRP Club of New England, bands 160 through 10, modes CW, SSB, AM, PSK, and more.
The New Hampshire QSO party, 1600 Zulu September 17th to 2200 Zulu September 18th. That's organized by the Port City Amateur Radio Club, 160 all the way through 70 centimeters, phone and digital modes.
There's the Washington State QSO party, the Salmon Run, 16 hours Zulu September 17th to 2359 Zulu September 18th. Organized by the Western Washington DX Club. Bands are 160 through 6 meters. No contacts on the work bands. And the mode is phone and CW.
And we have the New Jersey QSO party. It's a busy weekend for QSO parties. 1600 Zulu September 17th to 0359 Zulu September the 18th. Organized by the Burlington County Radio Club. It is 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters only. CW, phone, and digital modes.
There's Wisconsin Parks on the Air, 16 hours Zulu to 2300 hours Zulu, September 17th. Organized by the Fox Cities Amateur Radio Club. Bands 75, 40, 20, 15, 10, 6, and 2 meters. SSB, CW, and FM.
And finally, if you like radio teletype, the North American Sprint RTTY, 0100 to 0400 Zulu September 18th. It's organized by the National Contest Journal. It is 3 bands only, 80, 40, and 20 meters in the RTTY portions of the band. And that is the only mode for this sprint. It is radio teletype.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in. We'll post links to all of these stories and links to all of those upcoming QSO parties and contests on the air. And if you have any questions or comments for us, any stories to pass along to us, you can do it by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, or you can post it directly to our Facebook group, International Radio Report. We thank you for tuning in. We will probably have a special edition next week, as we'll be at the I will be at the CIDX event out in Alberta. So we will probably do a live recording from there for our show next week. So that should be interesting, give you some idea of what's going on out at the 60th anniversary of the CIDX Club in Edmonton, Alberta. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Nous rappelons que vous écoutiez Radio Congo, la station nationale de radiodiffusion qui est née de Brazzaville.
Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she doesn't have a lot to say. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she changes from day to day. I wanna tell her that I love her a lot, but I've gotta get a belly full of wine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, someday I'm gonna make her mine, oh yeah. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she never does a thing for me. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but she keeps the worst company. All her lords and her ladies in waiting, all crawling in the dirt like swine. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but I hope she's the end of the line, oh yeah. I hope she's the end of the line. Her Majesty's living in a land of curtsies, a world of bluish blood and Nazis, yeah. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl, but